In cities around the world, on Saturday, hundreds of thousands of people rallied against the U.S. occupation of Iraq. The rallies took place on the first anniversary of the invasion of the Middle East country. Protests took place across the United States, in Spain, Egypt, and the Philippines. As many as 2 million people came out into the streets of Rome, 100,000 in London, and 100,000 in New York City. Between 40 and 50 thousand people marched through the streets of San Francisco from Dolores Park to the city's Civic Center. My name's Mike Thornton, and this is a special Left Coast radio edition of the KVMR Morning News. Actor and activist Woody Harrelson was one of many speakers to address the throng in San Francisco's Civic Center.
I had a dream last night, and George Bush was in it, and yeah, okay, it was a nightmare, and in fact, he was he wanted to marry my friend, this girl, and I don't know what happened to Laura Bush in this dream, but you know how dreams are, and she didn't want to marry him, so he ended up trying to rape her, and then afterward, when I woke up, I realized that the girl's name was America. I wrote this poem this morning, and I hope you like it. It's actually a poem to GW. I recognize your face standing in precisely the same place, mouthing the same hypocrisy about preserving democracy and keeping the people safe. 4 million killed in Korea and 2 million in the Vietnam War. We feel so secure. Let's keep our bloodlines pure. I recognize your face and I recall your name. Your daddy killed for oil and you did the same. Then you used my country's flag to wipe your greasy hands. Wrapped in stars and stripes, you dropped million-dollar bombs in distant lands. And we feel so secure. Let's keep our bloodlines pure. I have often wondered how Hitler played his game. Attacking other nations, always in the name of security and eradicating evil and impurity. Fear is the great fascist tool. The bigger the lie, the more folks you fool. But how did Hitler hypnotize a nation? Like the moral backbone of the population took an untimely vacation. The answer is simple, though still an awful shock. Hitler had his Goring. You have Clear Channel and Murdoch. And all the moral lepers who whitewashed mass murder for oil are every bit as responsible for the blood spilled on their soil. Maybe if you looked, you'd recognize our face, standing in the place where Jesus stood, with Gandhi and Martin Luther King, lifting our voices above the din of your dream, the din of your drums, we sing. From your corporate grip, we shall be released. How long? Not long. We are the people, united and strong, and all of us want peace. All of us want peace. Thank you, everybody, for being here today. You're a beautiful sight.
Bill Hackwell's with the International Answer Coalition. Bill, let me get your thoughts on the demonstration today. How's it turned out?
Well, we're overjoyed, to tell you the truth. That's my immediate response. What we're seeing here today is a resurgence of the movement. It's not rhetoric to say that this is a step in the right direction. There's so many people here. We're thinking, we had people counting. We're at about 50,000 people marching. And we just feel great because it really represented so many different types of people. It was, of course, the main slogans were bring the troops home now and end the occupation of Palestine, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Haiti. But really, it was even about more than that. A strong union contingent, strong community contingent, people who are struggling for same-sex marriage, all these different issues. There was a convergence today. We need to be further, but it was a great step forward.
Do Do you think this is a harbinger of what we can expect to see throughout the rest of the year as we work our way to the presidential election?
Yeah, Mike, you know, the movement doesn't go in a straight line. No social change is sort of like is predicated on one large demonstration. It has to be a movement that grows and it can sustain itself. And I think what we can see is that even though after the war started, people finally realized that they couldn't stop the war, we went into a retooling. And now you can see that the sentiments didn't go away. Everyone's just as anti-war as they were, in fact, maybe even more so. And I think, yes, this is a harbinger of things to come. And we hope that our movement, which is paying attention to the elections, of course, but can maintain an independence. We can't be tie ourselves to any politician that has to sway in the wind to be able to get its proper corporate sponsorship. We need to be an independent and honest voice for peace and justice.
What happens next, coming from International Answers' perspective? What's next?
Well, we're, of course, working on the demonstrations for both the Republican National Convention in New York and also the Democratic National Convention in Boston. So we're turning our focus to that. You know, we're going to continue to struggle around the issue of Haiti. We're very worried about Cuba, which is this, you know, country that despite the blockade that for over 40 years has been able to, you know, have free education, has the lowest infant mortality rate in the Western Hemisphere. And we're worried that they're in the Washington's sights, along with Venezuela. So we have to stay on guard. We can't, let our guard down a bit. And we have to continue to try to make this movement grow.
Kelly Campbell is with 9/11 Families for a Peaceful Tomorrow. Kelly Campbell, why are you out here today?
I'm out here today because our organization, September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows, were made up of family members of September 11th victims, have opposed the war in Iraq from day one because it will make America less safe from terrorism, and because the Bush administration has continually tried to assert a link between 9/11 and Iraq when in fact there is no link. They're exploiting our grief and our loved ones' deaths to cause more grief and more deaths for other people around the world. My brother-in-law, Craig Amundson, was killed on September 11th in the Pentagon. He was 28 years old and the father of two young children. And his brothers and his wife and I were among the founding members of the organization because we believed that a violent response to Craig's death is not what he would have wanted, and it wasn't the appropriate way to respond to this act of violence that touched our family so deeply. And really the feeling that I had and that so many of us involved in the group had immediately after September 11th was, our families are suffering so much right now. How can we imagine wanting to inflict this kind of pain on any other family anywhere in the world? So it really comes from somewhere deeper than a political place, but really from the heart and an idea that we are all one human family and that this type of suffering needs to end. Our organization opposed the bombing of Afghanistan as well. We'd point out that we still don't have Osama bin Laden or any of the other top al-Qaeda leaders. The most senior al-Qaeda leaders that have been found have been through international police cooperation, which seems to us to be the smart way to go after criminals. When Timothy McVeigh bombed the Oklahoma City Federal Building, we didn't start bombing Montana or Michigan because he might have been there. So what we saw traveling to Afghanistan is dozens of families that I met with personally who had their homes bombed by the United States, children who were missing limbs from cluster bombs, people who had nothing to do with September 11th, who are now in the same situation that we are in terms of having lost people that they loved and trying to go on through the grief and the trauma. So we maintain that there are other ways that we could have responded to September 11th that would be more effective in terms of stopping terrorism, and that the bombing of both Afghanistan and Iraq fueled the fires of terrorism because it lets people see that Americans are killing innocent Muslim civilians around the world and helping al-Qaeda and others to recruit.
However, not everyone who was in the streets protesting in San Francisco on Saturday was protesting against the invasion of Iraq, Afghanistan, or the war on terror. Some were protesting against the anti-war protesters. They were also showing their support for the United States and Israel, and they singled out the International Answer Coalition as being enemies of both. Malata Balaya acted as a spokesperson for the group.
Anti-war is not the issue here at all, because ANSWER are at war. They are their war. At war against democracy, against the United States, the United Kingdom, and all of our loyal allies, and against Israel primarily. It is a very well-organized, very well-funded pro-Palestinian, venomously anti-Israel organization, which has twisted and hijacked history to suit their ultimate goal, making the world a socialist, communist, global state that is ruled by Islam.
These two disparate groups of activists came together at San Francisco's Civic Center.
You're not supposed to steal people's land, didn't they teach you that as a baby? Moses brought that down. Don't steal people's land.
Bogus.
Oh, that's a great excuse, Zionist. That's a great excuse. That's it. Nazis killed Jews, so we get to kill Palestinians. That's a great argument.
Give your home back to the
That's a great argument.
Now, keep your money in your pocket. That's where you are.
You're a racist.
Keep it out of America.
Keep your money in your pocket.
Keep Zionist money out of America.
One of the people we encountered during Saturday's day of protest at San Francisco's Civic Center was the internationally known poet Jack Hirschman.
I have a little poem that I'll be happy to read.
I wish you would.
It's called "You Know What I'm Saying." How many sons and daughters of the hundreds of men and women in Congress are fighting in Iraq? Two. Well, it's a volunteer army, and the men and women in Congress, what with deals and private investments, are for the most part millionaires. You know what I'm saying. Their kids don't have to take a military wash because they're dirtied up with racist slurs, threatened with fear of jail, pursued by poverty like the 20% of African Americans in the armed forces. African Americans represent only 12% of the population. Or the heavy percent of Latinos and poor whites as well, taking orders, doing a job in a country half of whose population are children 15 years old or younger. You know what I'm saying. And I'm supposed to feel patriotic and embrace this push for planetary domination on the part of that junta of death's heads that daily floats its moral abominations on the channels of our despair. Nuclear fears brought God back from the dead, and holy wars look each other in their lies, while children here and children there are ravaged to the roots of their still possibly innocent smiles. In their little heads, in their doorways, in beds, they wish they may, they wish they might bury you, you killer squirt, for all the children that you've hurt, and they'll throw happy dirt on your corpse, Mr. President. You know what I'm saying.
KVMR spoke with State Assemblyman Mark Leno after he addressed the participants in the rally at San Francisco Civic Center. Assemblyman Leno, you were asking the crowd here gathered on the anniversary of the invasion of Iraq if they were as angry as you were. What is it you're angry about and why?
I think more and more Americans are waking up to the fact that this administration is probably more corrupt than any we've seen in a century's time, that everything they have based their policies upon have really been lies. We now know that 54% of Americans believe that the Bush administration lied to them about weapons of mass destruction, lied to them about reasons going to war. They're realizing that he lied to them about his tax cut. He guaranteed that there would be millions and millions of new jobs created. We've lost millions and millions since his tax cuts. And he said that they were going to benefit the middle class and the poor. In fact, they're benefiting only the most wealthy. And that this policy, based on these lies, has put us in a deficit position of now approaching trillions of dollars, which is at historic rates. So Americans are angry because they see that this affects their lives. more and more jobs are being lost. There's ever greater job insecurity among those who still are employed, and Americans are feeling very uncomfortable about the nature of this administration. And, you know, the stories that continue to come out with regard to Halliburton, and Americans understand the connection between the vice president and Halliburton, and Halliburton and the president. And not only do they get these sole source contracts worth multi-billions of dollars, but now it's revealed that they've been stiffing the U.S. government, and that means your tax dollar and my tax dollar, to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars for their own personal and corporate gain. That outrages people, and that's what I think we're seeing here today.
Henry Graham is with the ILWU. Number 10, correct?
Local 10.
Mr. Graham, talk about this Bush administration and this war and the effect that it's having on working people.
Well, it's having a tremendous effect on American people. And some of them, most of the American people now is waking up, their eyes are becoming open wide. It was closed wide shut at one time. Now, since Hans Blitz and all the truth have came out, working people around this country have learned that Bush have lied to us, and all this about port security and all these security measures was a disguise to more or less eliminate unions around the world, I mean around this country, United States.
The ILWU is involved with helping to promote the Million Worker March. Talk about that.
The Million Worker March is a march for the people. Let the people go to Washington and speak and voice their opinion of their dislike for the Bush administration and any other politician, that Republicans or Democrats, you know. That's what this march will be all about, to let the people express themselves, not politicians. Like I said, the retired politicians are welcome, but the politicians that's active today, they won't be invited to this Million Man March to speak.
What do you say to all the working men and women who are listening, who are union members, not union members? What do you say to them?
I would say, wake up, America. Wake up. Please wake up. The Bush administration is not for the poor or working people at all. He's for the rich. He is for the rich.
Who used to be employees.
WBUSA.
The U.S. imperialists are on a bloody, brutal mission to rule the world from Haiti to Iraq. Their ultimate goal is China. We call on all students and youth here today to march with us and demand the U.S. get its bloody hands off the world.
Richard Becker of the International Action Center and International Answer Coalition.
We're here today together with people in hundreds of cities all across the world, marking the first anniversary of the Gulf War. A year of death, destruction, and deception is what we've seen, and people have to speak out against this. This has been a disaster not only for the people in Iraq, where tens of thousands have died and tens of thousands more have been injured, but it's a disaster for the people of the United States, too. And it's at least 570 U.S. soldiers killed, more than 3,000 seriously wounded, and $160 billion gone. Gone where? That's $400 million a day at a time when we're seeing all kinds of cutbacks in health care and education and everything else, jobs, everything that people need. So that's why we're out here today, and we're building this movement, which is really the only hope for change.
And we're with co-founder of the United Farm Workers, Dolores Huerta. Dolores, thank you for being with us today. And let me ask you why you're here at this rally marking the anniversary of the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq.
Well, this has got to be one of the most important gatherings that's taking place throughout the United States and throughout the United States, and I know that there are other rallies, but we've got to do something to stop this stupid war. We've got to do something to bring our children back from Iraq. We've got to do something about stopping killing innocent civilians in Iraq. And all of our money that's going over there that should be coming for health care and for education. And so this is why I'm here, you know, this is why I'm here. And but I also want to add that I'm going to be giving this message when I speak, that we've got to remember that the only way that we can really change this regime that we have right now is by voting. And that people have got to get out there and vote. They've got to register to vote. They've got to get their friends registered. They've got to become active in the political process, knock on doors, get the people out that are not voting. And if we all do that, we could win. We have so many young people here as we look around. You know, most of the people that we see are young people. Well, 75% of them are not voting. There's enough votes right there to be able to win the election and to get rid of George Bush and company. So that's going to be my main message that I give today.
Do you have faith that getting rid of George Bush and perhaps replacing him with John Kerry is going to be sufficient to change what really needs to be changed?
Well, I think it's a big, major step forward. And I'm not saying that it's going to be the ultimate solution, because we've got to stay on top of the politicians. We've also got to get people elected to the Congress. We've got to get more people like Barbara Lee and Sheila Houston and, good people up there that are Hilda Solis, Raul Grijalva, Nidia Velasquez, you know, good people, Dennis Kucinich, you know, people like that. We've got to get them elected to the Congress also to give some backup, and then we can put the pressure on whomever becomes president. But it's absolutely necessary that we change it, and we can't come out here and march and then forget about it and leave and then think that we did our bit, we did our thing. This is just the beginning. This is not the end. We've got to go out there and organize. Every peacemaker should be an organizer. Every peacemaker needs to carry the messages that have been learned here today and take them to their neighborhood, to their families, you know, to their communities.
That's it for this special edition of the news program. The morning news is produced by KVMR's news staff and volunteers. Thanks to Carolyn Crane for her contributions today, and thanks also to KVMR's National Programming Fund and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, who helped to make this program possible. My name is Mike Thornton, and now it's time to return to Left Coast Radio with your host, Carolyn Crane.